I'm going to read some very famous verses from John's Gospel, John chapter 14, and the first six verses. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we're coming to the holiday season, and people are travelling to all kinds of different destinations. Dave and Joe have just spent the last 2 weeks in Cornwall and have just come back from their holiday, and other people will be going on holiday soon. And there are all kinds of different roads on which you can travel when you're going on holiday, and some of them are decidedly easier than others. You know, if you go on a newly tarmac motorway that's smooth and straight, it allows you to travel in a car at high speed, you can get very quickly where you're going. And motorways can be great if you want to get somewhere quickly, but they're not always the most interesting route to a place. And sometimes, you know, if there's lots of roadworks on them or speed restrictions, they're not even that fast. There are other kinds of roads that you can travel on, you know. You can travel on A roads that are generally pretty good roads, but they're a bit windier maybe than a motorway. And sometimes, you know, you get nicer things to see, nicer views, more countryside and things like that if you're going on those kind of roads. If you're not bothered about how long it takes you to get where you're going, you know, you might even want to go on an even windier route where you want to look at some beautiful scenery. So it depends how you want to travel on a road as to which road you decide to take. And life's sometimes compared to a journey, and we can travel to different places for different reasons. You know, short journeys that we take every day maybe to go shopping, or longer journeys if we're going to visit friends and family who may not live near us any longer. Longer journeys when we go on holiday. And sometimes, of course, you know, we want to travel so far that we can't just go on a road anymore. We've got to go on a plane. Mark and Debbie are flying to Turkey next week, and they could take them a very long time if they were going on a road all that way. However we decide to travel, if we're going somewhere unfamiliar, then, you know, we've got to work out the route that we're taking or trust somebody else to do that for us. And even these days when we've got, you know, sat nav and maps and things like that, sometimes we can get lost, can't we, on the journey. Go down a one-way street or we end up, you know, in some kind of cul-de-sac because we've gone, you know, we've taken the wrong turn. Earlier this year, we took some young people to a church in Sheffield. And Sheffield, as you know, has got lots of hills, and we ended up having to park down one of these side roads, but then it was so icy and slippery that it was very difficult getting from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill, even though we knew where we were going. On other occasions, you know, we've been travelling down on the A1 and the sat-nav told us to do a U-turn for no reason that we could work out. Jesus knew that his disciples needed guidance if they were going to follow him properly, and they needed direction. And in this chapter from John, he was talking to them about going to the Father's house to prepare a place for them so that one day they could be with him. And that must have been quite an exciting thought for the disciples, but they were a little bit confused when Jesus said, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." Because it's quite obvious from Thomas's reply that they didn't really know where he was going. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" You know, if we haven't got a clear destination in mind, we'll never find our way there. And the disciples must have felt the same way. Jesus might have known what he was talking about when he was talking about going to my Father's house, but they weren't quite for sure. And they were not sure, therefore, that they could find their way there. And Jesus' answer is one of the most famous I am statements in John's Gospel. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Jesus way, wedded to the Jesus truth, brings about the Jesus life. Jesus knew that the only way we could reach God and heaven is if we followed him and did things his way. The only way to find the Father, he said, is through the Son. We can't just take any old road to God and expect to arrive at the right destination, any more than we can take any old road to arrive at a specific place. If we want to arrive at a particular place, we have to go a particular way. Now, some people think there are lots of different ways to God. And certainly, you know, we've all come from different backgrounds, and maybe we've found God in different ways. Some of us might have come to God because our friends or our family talked to us about how to find God, and we decided we wanted to follow their example. Some of us might have come to God because we heard somebody talking in church, or we heard a song about God that really spoke to us. Some of us might have come to God because we gazed at the magnificence of nature and realised there must be a creator who makes such beautiful things. We might have come to God through a dream or a vision. But whatever route we've taken to God, Jesus says that he's the door through which we must arrive, we must enter if we're to be saved. John spoke a couple of months ago when we were here about Jesus being the door or the gate to God. He said, I am the gate to the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And however we may have travelled on our journey to God, coming to him directly maybe, on a motorway, or going a more meandering route, you know, we can only arrive at God if we come through Jesus. And some people say, well, that's really very arrogant to say that. You know, all that matters is that we want to find God. It doesn't matter whether we're Christians or Jews or Buddhists or Muslims, or even if we don't really believe in God at all. All that matters is that we're sincere. But Jesus said that we have to repent and believe the good news, and we can only come to God through him. He told his disciples that they had to follow him. And he said in these verses, no one comes to the Father except through me. And his disciples took that message to everybody after Jesus had died. As they said, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. They were only echoing what Jesus had said. And we can only say that those statements can be true if we can back them up through the lifestyle of the people that say them. Jesus could do that. He said, even before he had been raised from the dead, even before he'd raised Lazarus from the dead, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's the fact that he then was raised from the dead himself that proves that statement to be true. So if Jesus is the only way to God, how? Why? You know, why do we have to come through Jesus? And we have to come through Jesus because he's both God and man. It's like a bridge that leads us back to God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and therefore we're estranged, we're cut off from God. We deserve to be judged because of our sins. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, it goes on to say, is eternal life through Jesus. And because of this, we can be sure that Jesus knows the way to the Father's house, because we know that the Father was pleased to accept the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. And so we know that Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a place in the Father's house for us. And we know the way there is through him. He doesn't just show us the way, he is the way. We can't reach God through our own ways. We've got to go on that narrow road, that road that's less travelled by. We have to enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through that. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And there are lots of ways of coming to God that people feel are more popular or easier than coming through Jesus. Doing good things is one way. People think, well, if I do lots of good things, that will get me to God. But no matter how good we are, or how many good things we do, we'll never be enough to reach God. Other people try to reach God through being spiritual, through praying or fasting or going on pilgrimages. And those things are great. But we still need to come to God through Jesus alone, not by our own effort. Jesus is the one who raised us from the grave. When I needed a saviour to save me, Jesus, you made a way. And if we want to reach God, that's the only way that we can get there, by following Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 1, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And in Psalm 18, he says, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. We can be sure that if we follow Jesus, he'll lead us to God. And there's room in God's house, in the Father's house, for all of us. So we don't have to be afraid, Jesus said. We can trust Jesus to lead us directly to the Father's heart. And we know that he's going to watch over us and look after us throughout life's journey. It's not always comfortable following Jesus. Sometimes it feels like it's definitely B roads with potholes and roadworks and bumpy roads. He never promised us a smooth ride. It's not a way that makes sense perhaps to our human understanding, because he asks us to live by faith and to follow him even when we don't understand what he's saying. Isaiah said that God was there to guide people always. When you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You know, these days when we're using our sat-navs to guide us on our journey, we have to trust what the sat-navs say. We were once going to Northumberland, and it's a straightforward route going up the A1, and then we knew which junction to come off at to get to where we were going. But the sat-nav told us to come off earlier than we expected. And we thought, well, that seems a bit strange. Why would we do that? But partly because it was a new toy to Gary at the time, he thought, well, go on then, I'll follow it. And it turned out that there was an accident just beyond us on the A1, and if we carried on that road, we would have got held up for quite a long time. By coming off early, we managed to get where we were going. We had to trust the sat-nav. And we have to trust Jesus if we want to get to God. Because, you know, there's no better way to live than following Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to come back to take us to be with him forever. We don't have to be afraid or let our hearts be troubled. We just have to trust him to lead us in the way everlasting. We trust that he will strengthen our feeble arms and our weak knees so that we can follow him all the way to the Father.